Good morning, Little Saigon. Good morning, Seattle. It is Sunday, October the 18th, 2020, right around 8:47 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is your brother Dan in Little Saigon. God bless all of you. This is a service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon. First reading is from Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so it cannot be altered. In accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human beings, except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. And he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, indeed, it is October the 18th, 2020, and I am going to say welcome you. Oh my gosh. Oh boy. Lord in heaven, forgive me. Everyone needs a little more coffee, even if you're virtually serving the Lord, right? Welcome. God bless all of you. God bless us all, because it is important to have that. It should not be said in vain. God bless you. God bless you if you prayed for a friend today. God bless you if you tried to seek out kindness in the last week instead of rage. Me? I got angry. I got really angry. At one point, I broke out into song at the intersection of 23rd and Union. And it wasn't a really nice song. I didn't use any dirty words, but it was definitely a song of mockery. Now, I was mocking a target. I feel the Lord in heaven is okay with mocking. And that is the Moloch, the demon, the tyrant, the dystopia. I was mocking the lie. I was mocking Lucifer. But even then, it's kind of a waste of time. So God bless all of you who maintain love in their peace. Excuse me. Love and peace in their hearts. God bless all of you who are able to do that, to integrate Christ's message into your daily lives. It's not easy. I have decided to do a weekly service now. It won't always be in the same place, but unless announced, it's going to be at the 12th Avenue Square Park, which is just down the street from where I live. I made this decision in part related to the topic of this service, but I also made this decision knowing that I am here. I am not in California. I am not in Kentucky. I am not in Ohio or Indiana or Michigan. I am here. And I believe in the living God. I believe in Jesus Christ. May his name be proclaimed by every king, and may every king bow before him, because he is the only Lord. That's also one of the messages of Daniel 6. The Lord in heaven has many servants on earth, but there is only one Lord in heaven. not 2, not 3, not 15. Yes, there are mysteries of the faith, the mysteries of the Holy Spirit, of the God made man, of the Son of God, all integrated into one thing, Yahweh, I am. But when he says I am, it is as if the thunder of the universe broke and you could see right into the core of truth. That is God. So God bless all of you if you were able to keep his commandments this week. God bless all of you if you were able to understand the gentle, powerful truth of Jesus Christ. Here's the next reading. This is from Jude 17 through 25. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. They are the people who will divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a prayer for courage before Jesus Christ. Jesus, we are at the edge of the cliff. At least that's how it feels. We stand at the precipice looking out into the great and majestic sea, an ocean of possibilities and terrors and storms. Lord, you commanded your disciples to not lose heart, even though a storm tossed the boat at sea. You walked upon that water, proving the power of God. We are people, many of us simple. All we want is to live in peace, freely, cooperatively with our neighbors. But there are many now who believe in the iron fist of will. The will of the people. And one cannot know for sure the source of that will. But it is not the will of God. Lord, we want to live in peace, but we are prepared to stand shoulder to shoulder as Christians. If this means we lose this physical life, then let it be so. Knowing the eternal life was always the hero's path. We pray for help. We pray for guidance. We pray for compassion, but we must pray for courage. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, God made man who was judged, tortured, and killed by the mob. Lord, grant us the smallest fraction of your courage in the days to come. In your name we serve, Jesus Christ. Amen. This next reading is from Matthew 27, 27 through 54. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns, and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again after they had mocked him. They took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, where they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross. We will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rock split. And the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, They were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. My apologies, brothers and sisters. I've got the cotton mouth this morning. I don't know why, but I do. So terrified came out as terrified, and I thought, wow, imagine being terrified. And then I thought about Daniel, and not in the lion's den, but in another part of Daniel where he's in the oven, and wow. That does match terrified. So there you go. Terrified. Good morning and God bless. The question you may be asking yourself is, what are we going to talk about? Or what is the thought on our minds, potentially? Maybe not your mind. I am just one servant of Christ. And so I have one mind, and the Lord knows it, and I'm going to let you know too. There's a quote that I put on the internet. I source it to Dr. Freckles because he's one of these characters I came up with years ago. And the quote goes like this: "We can't be afraid to live. That's how you die." These are dangerous times, but really, you know, times always were dangerous. We live, we die. There are horrors, terrible horrors. If you've ever had a loved one die of cancer, you believe me this, there are many ways of watching someone you love die, and cancer might be one of the worst. And I'm saying this because if you're asking, are there scary things in this world? Are there criminals? Are there thieves? Are there murderers? Are there rapists? Are there child abusers? Are there mass killers? Are there warlords who wage war against innocent people? The answer to all the above is yes. Is it possible that it's worse today than ever? I have no way of measuring that. I don't really believe the sources of information provided, so I have no way. I can't tell you. I wish I could. I mean, perhaps that would be a way for us to understand the time, the age we're in. But I don't know. But think about all the fruitless deaths a person suffers by being afraid of so many things. You know, it is an old saying that the coward dies a thousand deaths, and this is true. And at times in our lives, we are all driven by fear, okay? I've met some really tough people in my life, and the toughest people I met still had fear. They just knew how to get beyond it. Some of the scariest people I have ever met in my life in terms of darkness were people who said, "I have no fear." I want to repeat what I just said because I don't know that everyone will understand. Some of the darkest, scariest, nastiest, meanest people I have ever met would often state, "Oh yeah, and I'm not afraid of anything." Listen to the words of Jesus Christ on the cross. He screamed out to his Father in pain. He was at the beginning of a great trial to carry your sin, to carry my sin for all time, every sin, sins that hadn't even happened yet. Christ called out on the cross. Was he a coward? No, but he did cry out. In the garden, the night, you know, basically the night before, right? In the garden, did he not weep? Was there not sadness right before he was taken away? Was there not sadness in the garden? There was. Christ was brave in ways that most people will never understand. Christ knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He was God made man. He knew he was going to be tortured. He knew that people would throw rotten fruit at him. He knew they would make fun of him for hours and hours as he slowly bled out, as he was being beaten and kicked and stabbed and punched. Jesus Christ knew, as all of this was happening, and he knew it before, and he knew it after. And then he spent those days, yes, days, in the tomb alone. You wonder who was with him? Well, he did battle in that cave, didn't he, against evil. He did battle against the devil. He did battle against death, and then he rose. Christ is risen. So Christ did cry out on the cross. And yet it's hard to see anything but the most powerful bravery and courage in what he chose to do. The physical harms of that day were nothing. Listen to him, please, as I drink a little water to clear my throat, listen to what I'm about to say. Have you ever looked back on your life and seen the things you've done, the harm you've done, the mistakes you've made, and said to yourself, "I'm a piece of crap"? I have. And it's hard to give that up. Imagine you had to look at the worst of every person that ever lived. The worst. The worst they did. Not the imagined worst. Not the low self-esteem worst. The actual things people did to each other. Imagine if you had to see thousands of years of harm. Everything. Not just what happened before, which was terrible, but also things like Nagasaki, Hiroshima, the death camps, the murder of Stalin and Mao Zedong, the murder of Pol Pot, this crooked, crooked, crooked dystopia that's been pulled down around us. Imagine you had to see all those, you lived with those sins for 3 days in a cave, and maybe even Lucifer was in that cave whispering to you, are you sure these people are worth it? We think we know what bravery is. We do. We think we know what courage is. And it is brave and courageous to take the torture and pain of people. But then, to do that, to take even more torture and pain that represents the pain of all time, that's a burden most of us will never understand. I think parents come close. I think moms and dads get really close to understanding the burdens of Jesus. I really do. If there are people in this world and you're asking yourself, who is so like Jesus? Look at a mom, look at a dad. I'm not saying they're living according to Jesus. Many do not. But that is the life of Jesus. To care for children, to love those children, to teach those children, to protect those children, and to carry the burdens that you must carry as a parent. A good parent, a good mom and dad in 2020, please tell me, how easy is it to be good? To say to yourself, I will do what's right. If someone comes to your door and says, here's a vaccine and here's some money. And it won't be that trivial, but I'm trivializing it so you understand. Here's a vaccine. Here's some money. A lot of people are going to take the money and let the state give a vaccine to their kids. That is what is going to happen. It's going to happen soon. I'm not a prophet. This isn't prophecy. At best, this is just stochastics. It's Markov models. It's wagering. I will wager that in a number of months, it is quite possible that people will say, you can take the vaccine and eat, or you can refuse it and starve. What are you going to do? It's hard to follow Christ. It's probably one of the reasons why I put it off for so long. Other than the fact that I am too skeptical for my own good at times. It might be even impossible at times to follow Christ, in a sense. Because at a certain point, you figure it out. If you really follow Christ, you're following him forever. And eventually, as you follow Christ forever, this physical body just goes away. Because the physical body isn't forever. It breaks down, it falls apart. Believe me, I'm a 50-year-old man. This chunk of fat and protein and bones and skin and hair, this chunk of central nervous system and organs, it just turns to mush. All of it goes away. All of the things of this physical world go away. On a journey with Christ, the only thing that will last is the Spirit. Something to remember when we seek out our courage. Something to remember is that courage is required, but understanding will bring peace. If you understand that this physical body will just go away one day, then really, what are we afraid of? In recent weeks, there's been a word that's been bouncing around my head, and I don't know how this is directly connected to the core theme of having courage with Christ, but the word is Passover. And pretty much every Christian knows what the Passover refers to. The Passover refers to that night in Egypt, when the angel of death covered all of Egypt and took the firstborn son of so many families, But the angel of death flew over those places where the people of God obeyed his word. He gave them specific instructions. And if you, as a Hebrew in Egypt, followed those instructions, you were going to be safe. Your child was going to be safe. But if you did not, then death would come to your house. Now, I know that being a slave must have been terrible. It's not like in the first parts of Exodus, it's described in a good way. In fact, between Genesis and Exodus, you can come to the conclusion that a slave's life has always been terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Slavery is terrible. Okay? You know, it's sad that the human race didn't figure that out earlier, but slavery itself is terrible. But imagine being a slave, part of a slave culture for hundreds of years. They were in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then one day, this person comes along and starts performing miracles. And maybe they're miracles because maybe you didn't get to see them. Maybe all you did was hear the word of the miracle secondhand. And then they say, sacrifice an animal and put blood on your door and be patient and eat unleavened bread. And prepare for travel and make haste, because the day of the Lord is at hand. Imagine how scary that was. Slavery is terrible, but it can be comfortable. Look at America today. Slavery's terrible, folks. They built a concentration camp around you. They did that. They did that in the space of a few decades. They did that to me, too. Slavery is terrible, but it's comfortable. And then some ascetic desert monk comes along and says, well, you're comfortable, but it's painful. Pharaoh will harden his heart further. Your life will get worse. And people say, well, it's always been bad. And yes, it could get worse, but it could get better. Why do we need to do anything? Why do we need to act? Why do we need to worry about the angel of death? There were people of God on that very night who just thought to themselves, my slavery is safer and easier. I don't need to put the blood on my door. And they suffered a loss, even though they were children of Jacob in that genetic sense. But in that spiritual sense, when they chose not to listen, they were cut off. Maybe not permanently, but at least for that night. If you are afraid to live, you are doomed to die. You can ignore Christianity if you wish. You can ignore God. If you are simply an agnostic or an atheist, I am telling you, if you are afraid to live, you are going to die, period. I'm an old hermit. I know old hermit stuff. Every old hermit knows that simply staying in the cave is death. At some point, you have to roll back the stone. Outside of the cave is life. Inside of the cave is the trial. Outside of the cave is beauty. Inside of the cave is fear. We roll back the stone because with life, we overcome fear. I did not expect to be the drunk preacher of Little Saigon. I didn't expect to even attempt to do something like this. In fact, one could make the argument that the reason why I'm doing this may even be out of spite towards a system that I consider corrupt, but that's not the truth. I'm doing this because no one else was. I'm doing this because someone has to. And when I say I mean me and my friends in Christ. Because guess what? On the road, on the journey, as scary and difficult as it is, Bilbo Baggins, on that journey with Christ, you make friends. You make friends along the way. You meet allies on the pilgrimage to God, on the path with God, to God. You make allies in Christ, and your strength is greater because of it. So I should say, we didn't want to be here. We didn't want to be coming up with church on the fly. We wanted to live decent and peaceful lives. We wanted to be good Christian folk, not perfect, believe you me, not perfect, but kind to each other. And if we did harm, may it be only harm we did to ourselves. That's what we wanted. We wanted to be left alone. If the devil knocks on a Christian's door and demands the daughter of that Christian as if it's Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you say to the devil? Do you say, certainly, take my children, stick your fucking... I almost swore there. Stick your vaccines inside of me. Lord in heaven, forgive me. Coarse language. If the devil comes to your door and demands your children, what are you going to do? If you think that's a weird question, you need to meditate on that as a Christian, I think, at this point. And if you're asking yourself, is there a time when you're supposed to fight back? The answer is yes, there is a time. I don't know it. I really don't. I'm not certain what path God has chosen for me. How would I know the paths chosen for you? But I will leave you with this thought that is a counter thought to that famous old quote. There's this famous old moldy old chestnut, you know, this old moldy chestnut, whatever. How does it go? This old quote, I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. That quote's a lie. Let me give you a statement that's closer to the truth. Better to stand with Jesus than kneel in hell. Better to stand with my Lord Jesus Christ for as long as I can than to kneel in hell. That is the truth. Lucifer doesn't want you as a friend. The devil doesn't want you as a buddy. If you've ever been exposed to people who worship Satan and they tell you, oh, he's our true friend, that's a gigantic lie. Lucifer hates you. If you're a human being, Lucifer hates you. He hates everything about you. And if you do end up in his congregation, all he wants from you is obedience. Jesus loves you. To be with Christ, you just have to do a couple things. Well, more than a couple, but it's not that complicated. Number one, you need to have true faith and love of Jesus. You have to know Jesus in your heart. It's not easy. Okay? Number two, you have to have courage. Jesus is not going to ask you to kneel before him. He won't. You will, as you pray, I do, but that's not something that Jesus demands. Jesus wants our love. Jesus does not want our obedience. There is a big difference. I would even go further. There is no love in obedience. There is only fear. And there is nothing in fear but darkness eventually. Roll back the stone, my friends. I have to. You know, in about an hour, I'm going to go down the street and probably, most likely, there'll just be a couple people there and nobody else. And I'll hang out with a couple people and pray and discuss and then go on about my Sunday. That is the most likely outcome. But still, with trepidation in Seattle these days, I go out in public to worship Jesus Christ. I could have never imagined that being a true statement. I could have never imagined in my life a long time ago, especially when I wasn't a believer, how could there be a time when people would persecute Christians? When I didn't believe, I did not hate Christians. I could not understand the hatred of Christians. When I was an atheist, I could not understand the level of bile thrown at Christians. How could there be a time like that? Welcome to the time. You can stand with Jesus. Or you can kneel in hell. I'd like to take a moment right now of silent prayer, just a moment where we can think about people in our lives that need courage, that need to remember their faith, to remember the side we're on. And I hate to say it, folks, I do, but there are sides. there is no peace with the devil. For all those that we know in our lives that are living in fear, let us pray for courage. For those of us, or for those people we know that have shut themselves in, roll back the stone. Pray that your friends who have shut themselves in out of fear, that they roll back the stone. There is great danger in the world. There always has been. There's great terror. There is death. There always has been. This body was never going to last. And that's always been true. So let us take a moment of silence to pray for those people in our lives that hold too tightly to the things that pass away. And let slip by the things that last forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go out. Roll back the stone. Hang out with some friends. Go have a barbecue. Go to church and don't wear the mask. I know I'm telling you to do something that the authorities tell you you have to do. You make your own choice. If you need to wear the mask, wear it. What I am saying is roll back the stone. That's one of the powers that Christ gave us, the ability to get out of the cave, to get out of the darkness, to escape the fear. On this Sunday and for the rest of the week, if you're afraid of doing something, or rather, if the one reason why you don't want to do something, the only reason is fear, take that fear and crumple it up and throw it in the garbage. I'm not advocating for recklessness. I'm not advocating that everybody, go skydiving. That's not really the point here. But during this week, I am going to try to be braver for Christ, to have more courage for Christ. If that means even talking about Jesus Christ in public, guess what? That is something I'm going to have the courage to do. I will tell you, if you look around this world today, the devil has no fear in talking about the devil everywhere. Everywhere you go, the devil has a pulpit. So what I'm saying is, why don't we be a little bit brave for Christ? And to all my friends and brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I love you guys. Hang in there. Be strong. God bless all of you. And in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, may we serve. Amen.